for those of you who might be newer to Christ Our Anchor, we've been in a sermon series since the beginning of Lent, which focused on fasting from things that pull us away from God, and then feasting on things that bring us closer to God. And today is the final sermon of that series, and essentially, I want us to use the Easter story to think about two of the most important questions in the world. One, who is God really? And then two, who are you really? One important thing to note in this story from John is that Easter began in the dark place. Jesus went from dead to alive all alone in a cave, in his own tomb, in total darkness. Jesus was alive, at least for a few moments, before anybody knew. And Easter is interesting because when we compare it with Christmas, even people who are not big churchgoers are very familiar with the Christmas story, with the cast of characters. They could name Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and the shepherds and the angels and the wise men. We're all familiar with who's in that story. Ask anyone to draw up a nativity scene right now, and they could probably do it. But with Easter, it is utterly different. There is a lot more mystery as to what happened. It began in the dark. And I want you to remember that because we're going to come back to that later. Being alive when the world expected him to be dead was just one way that Jesus completely overturned everybody's expectations. Jesus had shown the world an entirely different way to view God. Beginning from being born poor, covered in dirt and hay, Jesus was very different. This was not the Messiah born with power and might, but he was born as a helpless baby, and he had to grow up just like we all do. And then when Jesus entered his ministry, let's be real, he surrounded himself with some pretty shady characters. He chose very strange people to surround him as his apostles. He pushed back against those who thought they were the holiest people, the religious people. And in the end, he got killed for that. He pushed too hard. One of the pastors that I really look up to is a Lutheran pastor in Colorado named Nadia Boltz Weber. And she asked a really good question. What bothered people more? The thought that Jesus was like God, or that God was like this Jesus person? Holy God, who everybody had always imagined as angry and all-powerful, enacting justice, not tolerating screw-ups, laying out rules to live by, that God, are we supposed to believe that that God would be like this Jesus person? He just tells people to follow him. All these rules we've learned all our lives no longer set the standard anymore, according to him. So in the message of Jesus, we can know God through a person, through Jesus himself, and that changed everything. When I was a chaplain, not working for any one church, I would preach at a lot of different denominations, including even Unitarian. And they said to me once, "You'd make a good Unitarian minister. Why don't you do that?" And this is exactly why, because I couldn't give up this Jesus. Jesus who loves recklessly and forgives indiscriminately, forgives everybody, refuses worldly success, and prioritizes those with the most needs. If this is what God is really like, it doesn't make sense, but that is a God that I can follow. That's what many of Jesus' disciples must have been feeling too, because they journeyed with him, and all throughout, it was constantly, oh, this is who God really is. They pledged to follow him, even if it meant into death. And death seemed to be the end of the road, until Easter. When we follow God in Jesus, the journey doesn't end with darkness and death and grief. It is in the dark place that the story is only beginning. So what does the Easter story mean for any of us, for you? Why are you here this morning? Maybe you're here just out of love for someone else. They wanted you to come, and so here you are, but you're not really sure why. We all smile when we see kids, like at the egg hunt last week, take so much joy in jelly beans and candy and Peeps and their Easter baskets. But that doesn't do it for us anymore. That's not why we're here. That's kid stuff, And they should enjoy it while they can, right? Life is still so simple for them. And yet I bet that every single one of us here has a hope deep in our hearts that there is life beyond the dark places, that there is something for us after what seems like bad news. I don't know exactly what those dark places are for most of you. We never know exactly what someone else is going through. When we're dressed in our Sunday best, it's easy to forget how many of us are struggling with financial worries, unpaid bills, with relationships ready to come apart at the seams, with an illness in our family that threatens our future, with a disappointment that has left us angry or bitter, or maybe even just with a numb sadness that we can't explain. We never know what anybody else is going through. Just seeing them in traffic or in the supermarket, we never know. For many of us, we will worry about physical death when the time comes, but what we really long for, deep down, is resurrection in our spirits, the places most people cannot see. How do we get that resurrection to be a part of our lives? How can new life enter our everyday life? I think we have to be reminded that Easter began in the dark. Jesus was not fully alive again until he came out of the tomb, until the stone was rolled away. And it's the same thing for us. We all have stones to be rolled away in our lives. Just a few weeks ago at our youth group here, we did prayer stations, and one of them that was really meaningful to us was writing a big struggle on a little stone and then building an altar with all those stones so that all of us, something big and heavy that we were hanging on to, was then an offering to God. So what are your stones? When have you felt so low or in such a dark place that you thought you were as good as dead, that your good days were over? Or when have you been too scared and frozen to come out of whatever tomb is holding you, to come out into something new? What brought you out of tombs in the past? What brought you out of those dark places? How did you get to the other side? We all have things that we're still working on, but we also have things that we have gotten through. Where have you had to take risks and face fears for the sake of your own integrity, your healing and growth? What have you had to let die in order to let something else new come to life? All of those things, that kind of stuff right there, is where we meet the risen Christ. That is where we are fully human and truly alive. There's another amazing pastor that I love named Howard Thurman. He was the spiritual advisor to Dr. Martin Luther King, so he was pretty cool. He once said, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do that, because what the world needs is people who have come alive." Even though the world lives each day like it's on its way to the tomb, faith's message to us is that our Lord is not there. Jesus is not locked away in the dark place anymore. Jesus is not trapped in our painful pasts or our regrets, in our hurts or our griefs. Jesus is not trapped there. Real life continues. God keeps going on ahead of us and daring us to catch up. The God of Easter is not about cleaning us up, making us nice and pretty and more religious, but the God of Easter is about rolling away our stones and making us new. Thanks be to God. Amen.